Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on the Graybar Sports Open Line on a Monday night without Cardinal baseball. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly, and we're going to talk some Cardinal baseball and some baseball in general. The Pittsburgh Pirates coming to town to start a series tomorrow night. It'll be a Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and then Thursday afternoon game as the Cards and the Pirates get together for the first time this year. And John Parato joins us from PittsburghBaseballNow.com to chat a little bit about this series and certainly about a specific enticing pitching pitcher that we're going to see tomorrow night. John, thanks for taking some time tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. This is interesting in that the National League Central Division and the National League in general is it is so jammed up, it's so locked up that all of these teams, the Cardinals, the Pirates, everybody right now, certainly relevant despite being a couple games under 500.
It certainly is. It seems like all 15 teams are in playoff contention. I know that's not quite the case, but literally, I mean, there are three teams tied for the final wild card spot, and the Pirates are only a half game behind the out of the last wild card at 31-34. And, you know, even in the division, I know Milwaukee has a bit of a cushion with a 6-game lead, but then you look at the Pirates, Cardinals, Reds, and Cubs are all right there bunched together. And I certainly don't think the Brewers are invincible by any means. And I could see any of the four teams possibly chasing down the Brewers.
Yeah, I think that they're, it certainly feels to me as we watch that the Brewers are going to have some sort of, I don't know if it's regression or correction back to, you know, closer to that 500 mark. It feels like it anyway. I was chatting in the at Busch Stadium over the weekend with another media member, and we were just kind of talking, and he was wondering kind of aloud whether or not this was going to be more what we see from baseball going forward, that maybe there's not going to be these crazy big spenders, but there's going to be teams that are going to spend enough that they're going to be able to stay relevant, hang around, ultimately get into the postseason and take your chances. And we saw it for the most part with Arizona last year. They obviously get all the way to the World Series. Do you feel like maybe we are going in that direction?
Yeah, I think so. With some of the teams, I think you always have some teams like the Yankees and Red Sox and Dodgers and probably, you know, certainly the Mets now with Steve Cohen as owner. You know, those teams will, and I think you probably lump the Phillies in that group now as teams that probably pretty much will always spend top dollar and try to, you know, be at the top of the payroll system and try to, you know, buy as many players as they can in free agency. But yeah, I think a lot of other teams realized you don't need a huge payroll to go to the playoffs, especially now that there's six teams in each league go and three wild card spots. So yeah, I could, I do think it's bringing about more parity within baseball, giving more teams a chance. In fact, if you look right now, there are only five teams that are five or more games out of the last wild card. So really, I mean, almost every team theoretically still has a legitimate chance to make the playoffs. And here we are in the middle of June almost.
And if nothing else, it certainly makes for some tighter series, some more exciting games. And I know that the contrarian's going to say it's mediocrity, it's not parity, but the fact is it does make for some exciting series.
It does. And it mean, you know, more meaningful games mean, you know, bigger crowds, bigger TV audiences, bigger radio audiences. So, you know, I think it's good for the sport myself. The more teams that are competitive, you know, the more interest there is. And I don't really see a downside to that. And I understand, I get the people saying it's mediocrity or worse or just too many teams with futility, but I think it's fun, and I think if the standings stay bunched like this all year, and eventually I think they'll spread out a little bit because they usually do, but I do think there will be a lot of teams in contention come August and September. And for me, the more people, more fans, not just in one city, but all the cities that have hope, that just makes the sport stronger and more visible in my estimation.
Yeah, I would agree with you. John Parrotto's with us from PittsburghBaseballNow.com. The Pirates, of course, coming into town to start a series at Busch tomorrow night. And, John, the Cardinals, we've talked a lot here about the Cardinals having a big three in the bullpen in Romero and Kittredge and Helsley. And the Pirates are shaping up to have a sort of big three in that bullpen as well, with Aroldis Chapman, Colin Holderman, and David Bednar. And the Pirates are able to shorten those games if they can get a lead, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. And, you know, that's what they were counting on coming into spring training after they'd signed Aroldis Chapman. And, of course, Holderman was a holdover from 2 years ago. They got him in a trade from the Mets, and Bednar had been an all-star each of the last two seasons. And that was the way they envisioned, you know, that unfolding, have their starter get them through five or six innings, then turn it over to the big three at the end of the bullpen. But Bednar got hurt in spring training, only pitched twice in the Grapefruit League in the last 3 days of the spring. And he really was rusty and didn't look good at all for the first month or so of the season. But now he's converted 13 saves in a row, and he seems back to his all-star form. Holderman got sick in spring training, lost 17 pounds, wound up in the hospital for a while, and it took him a little while to get going, but now he has an ERA under one. And Chapman, he's really been unhittable all year. His biggest problem has been walks. He's had a lot of control issues and a lot of command problems, but over the last two or three weeks, he seems to have found the strike zone on a more consistent basis, and he's throwing 104 miles an hour at 36 years old, which is pretty amazing.
And just talking about pitchers, and I mentioned this as well, but Cardinals fans are going to get a treat. And I'll ask you, how fun has it been to watch the rookie, the number two prospect now in Major League Baseball, according to MLB Pipeline, Paul Skenes, get out there and do his thing in the bigs?
Well, he's fun. I mean, you know, I mean, he throws 100 miles an hour like it's nothing.
Right.
It's amazing. Just pitch after pitch after pitch is 100, 99, 99, 100. Occasionally dips down to 98 or 97, but it's almost always 99 or 100, and occasionally 101. And I mean, this isn't just a guy reaching back for a little special, you know, a little something extra in a big situation. This is a guy who routinely is throwing 100 miles per hour. And, you know, he also has the outstanding, they call it a splinker. It's a mix between a split finger pitch and a sinker. And when it's on, and it's been on for the most part in the five starts he's made here in the big leagues, it's almost unhittable. It comes in hard in the mid to high 90s with a late break, and it drops at the last second. He also has a slider that can buckle people's knees, and an okay curveball that he can throw in for show. And his changeup is getting better. So, I mean, this is a guy who potentially is going to be a five-pitch pitcher throwing 100 miles per hour. And you add on the fact he just turned 22, and he has maturity of somebody that's more like 32, has really no nerves, no fear, confidence without being cocky. And it's pretty amazing package. And, you know, people here are excited, and justifiably so. And I know people around baseball are, because when I talk to people from other teams, when they come through town or whatever, Skenes is the first thing they ask about.
Yeah, I just said that, as a matter of fact. We were talking about just some of the crowds being down at Busch Stadium, and I said, if you're a baseball fan even a little bit, you want to come out. These are the kind of players that you want to come out and you want to get a look at in person.
Oh, absolutely. I think he'd be a great drawing card. You know, he has been here. The atmosphere has been very electric in his three starts he's made here in Pittsburgh. The other two came on the road. One was in Detroit, and the other one was in Chicago, Wrigley Field. And I mean, they've become, I don't, maybe spectacle is a little too strong of a word, but certainly very anticipated. And, you know, I'll give you an example. Pittsburgh doesn't usually draw in the high 20s on weeknights, at least on, you know, Mondays through Thursdays. He pitched a Wednesday last week, or yeah, I guess it was last week. And, there were 29,000 people in the stands. And I mean, it was electric. It was like a, opening day type atmosphere. People were buzzing on each pitch, and you know, he got started the game off by striking out Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani on three pitches each, and you know, got him swinging, and the crowd went crazy, and it is an event. And, you know, I mean he is one guy, if I were a Cardinal fan, and I don't usually tell people how to spend their money, but I think he's worth the price of admission to go see him tomorrow night. If I were in St. Louis, and I know there's, you know, plenty of baseball fans there. People love baseball in St. Louis. He's definitely worth the price to go see. And of course, when I say that, we'll knock him out in the second inning tomorrow night. Everyone will want the refund from me.
That tends to be how it works. I don't want to get by without mentioning Mitch Keller, who has been really, really good the last couple of months. He is 6-0 with a 1.1 ERA over the last couple of months now.
Yeah, he's the first Pirates pitcher to win six straight starts since Garrett Cole in 2015, which is the last year they were in the postseason here in Pittsburgh. You know, he's progressively gotten better the last couple of years. He really struggled early on in his career, and there were some people not only outside the organization but inside the organization that really wondered if he was going to become the type of pitcher they had hoped he would be when he was coming up through the farm system. But he really found his footing 2 years ago in the second half of the season, made the All-Star team last year, got off to a slow start this year, and but boy, he's really hit stride here in the last 6 weeks, and I should say six starts. And I think the other, I think part of this too is, you know, they have Skeens and they have Jared Jones, another rookie who's having a really good season too. And Keller doesn't have to carry the entire rotation anymore. I mean, he pretty much was the one guy they could count on last year in the rotation, and Johan Oviedo, to an extent, the former Cardinal, until he blew his elbow out. And I think Keller's much more relaxed. I don't think he feels like he has the weight of the entire pitching staff on his shoulders. He knows that he doesn't have to go out and be perfect and give them a great outing every time, because the other four pitchers aren't capable of it on a regular basis. And I think that's made him even that much better, knowing that he does have a little margin for error now. And if he has just a mediocre start, that it's not going to be four more days before they have another starting pitcher have a good start when his turn comes back around.
Well, just a half a game separates the Cards and the Pirates. That series starts tomorrow. John Parato, I appreciate you catching up with us tonight and talking a little baseball, and perhaps we'll see you at Busch Stadium over the next couple of days.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. Absolutely. That's John Parato, PittsburghBaseballNow.com. You can follow him as well at JParato. That's two R's and two T's. And we are coming back on Sports Open Line. We're going to visit with Andy Strickland on the other side of the break, talk a little bit about what happened 5 years ago here for the Blues. That's next. This is Camo X.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.